for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 25th, 1994. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is known basically as a deliverance camp, a place of where deliverance is taught and deliverance is practiced. And but besides deliverance, there are all the other aspects of the kingdom that's taught here. I believe and I hope and I want it to be that way. And I know the Lord does, that we're not just teach one phase of the kingdom, but that all the things of the kingdom are taught so that we can grow in the knowledge of the Lord and become, grow to full stature unto the things of the Lord. And that's, I know that's the Lord's intent, and I know it's Irma and our intent. And we trust that that is what takes place here for the different ministries that come to minister the word of the Lord unto us here through the camp meetings. But in the face of all of that, none of us have arrived. I don't care who the teacher is. I don't care who the minister is. None of us have arrived to the place where we've grown to the full stature of a son of the Son of God. And we're all striving. I trust we're all striving for that place in the Lord, where that we can grow and become under full stature of the Lord. But we're all learning, and every time there's camp meeting, I learn something. I learned something last Saturday night in our Bible study that we had here last Saturday night, not yesterday, but a week ago. I learned something, and it was very interesting. I spoke about it last night, that the Lord is growing in us, and we are, of course, we all know this, but we need to, it needs to be emphasized. We all are the kingdom of God in the earth today. We are that kingdom. We're not waiting for it. It's not going to come, but the kingdom of God that is in the earth today, you and I are that kingdom, and that responsibility lies upon each one of us. We are the kingdom of God today in the earth. And there will be no other kingdom except you and I. So we carry and are responsible for a great responsibility unto the Lord. Every day of our life, we carry a great responsibility to be that which the Lord would have us to be, that he can be glorified through us. Well, so then why do we need deliverance and a Savior? Why do we need that? Well, let's look at a little, some scripture today for a while and see what we find here. Why we need deliverance and why we need a Savior. In Romans chapter 3, we can all quote this. It's just a little short verse, about 8 or 10 words in it. But it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So that's why we need deliverance. That's why we need a Savior. Because we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So, but why are we in such a bad shape? Rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. Now, there are those who have never heard. But to those who have heard, our problem is rebellion. We have come short of the glory of God because we rebel against the Lord and against His Christ, which is the Word, the Lord Jesus. We rebel at the Word of God and causes us to come short of His glory and causes us to be sinful men and women. So we need to get rid of our rebellion. And where does our rebellion come from? We were born with it. We inherited our rebellion. It has come down through our family line. Let's go to 1 Peter and look at a verse over here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, verse 14, says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." So, we are rebellious, and we are lustful, and we mostly have been ignorant of it until we come to the understanding and of the word of the Lord. But it says that we are not obedient children. It says that we should be as obedient children, but we're not. We're fashioning ourselves according to our former lust in our ignorance. But so we are rebellious children and not obedient as the Lord would have us to be, or as I would like to be myself. And I trust that you also, too, would like to be and desire to be obedient unto the Lord and not rebellious. And verse 14 we'll read here. On it says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So the Lord says he's requiring of us to be a people of holiness unto him, and that we should desire to be holy unto him because he is holy. "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by what? Tradition from your fathers or your elders." There we have the sins of the fathers, the traditions, the inherited sins of the third, the fourth, and the tenth generation that have come down to us because of the sins of our fathers, and causes us to be a rebellious people, a rebellious man and woman, boy and girl, born in rebellion against authority, against the authority of the home, against the authority of God. We're born in that spirit of rebellion. Over in Exodus chapter 20, we find that this is spoken of here in this 20th chapter of Exodus in the first six verses. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying..." Now, you notice that the Lord is speaking it. He's speaking it to Moses. And he says, "I am Yahweh, the Lord thy God, Yahweh, Jehovah Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt," or sin, "out of the house of bondage." God did it. He said, "And thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, doing what? Visiting the iniquity, the rebellion of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, that keep my commandments." So how do we get the mercy of the Lord, and how do we get his love shown unto us? By keeping his word, by hiding his word in our heart, and then by obeying it to the very minutest detail, to the best of our ability. Help our desire to be, to obey the word of the Lord. Help it to be our desire. And then when we don't, help us to be quick to repent and ask the Lord to forgive us and cleanse us of our rebellion, our iniquity. Iniquity is rebellion against that which you know not to do, but you do it anyway. That is iniquity. And Lord, help us that we do not rebel against your word, but that we desire to walk in your word in holiness and righteousness. So the Lord says here that he visits us, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and the fourth generation of those that do not obey his word. Okay, so let's look for a while here, just in review for some of us and for some of you. It is not in review. But let's go over to Deuteronomy 27. And let's look here at what God says some of the things are that are rebellion against him. We start in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. And we will look here for a while through some of this. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, we will begin with verse 9. It says, "And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. And today we are also the people of the Lord. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, or his word, which is his voice, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, today." And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "Thee shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And thee shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." Well, most of us, I hope, want God's blessing and not his curse. We want to be blessed. We don't want to be cursed. But if we're going to be blessed, we have to obey the word of the Lord. So, starting here in verse 14, it says, "And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. Today, there is a lot being led and blinded and wandering out of the way through the teaching that's being taught, as well as just a blind person who is blind naturally being led out of the way. We are being led and blinded by false teaching. And the Lord says, cursed be the person that does that. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. And today, righteous judgment is hardly found in the land. The judges rule that unrighteousness is right and righteousness is wrong. Many, many times, that's the way the judges rule today. We do not have righteous judgment in the land. They rule for abortion. They rule to take prayer away. They rule that you can't teach your children the things of the Lord. They rule unrighteous judgment. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he's uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Adultery. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Bestiality. And these things are being taught today as natural and right. And God says, you're cursed. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Incest. And it's being taught that it's right. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Adultery again. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Murder. Cursed be he that taketh to reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Shedding of innocent blood. Abortion. The Lord says that they're all cursed, anyone who has anything to do with it. From the judges who rule that it's right, down through those in the Congress and the Senate, and down through the president and his wife and the vice president, down through all who say that it's okay, that the law says it's right. They're cursed because they're shedding innocent blood. And God says that all innocent blood must be accounted for. And then verse 26 says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them." And all the people shall say, Amen. So if you disagree with any of this law, you're cursed because you disagree with it. The Lord says that you must agree with it. If you don't agree with it, you're cursed. And then it says over in chapter 28, in starting with verse 15, we carry on. Oh, we all want the blessings, but the blessings we'll never receive if we don't obey the word. Because if we receive the, if we're cursed because we don't obey the word, we'll never receive the blessings of verse 3 down through the rest of there of that, and because we fall under the curses of that take away our blessing. Over in verse 15, we'll begin. And it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and of thy flocks and of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the witness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilent cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. There's not very many of us here who remember the days of the Depression and the Dust Bowl, but the dust came down like rain from the sky and sifted into the homes and into my folks taped the windows and all to keep the dust out. But still, the dust came in anyway and sifted through the house. And it was like you walk and left your footprints in them anywhere you walked in the house, even though they taped the windows shut and all to keep it out. It was there. It came down like rain out of the sky. And the sky turned red at night when the sun was setting, or even in the daytime it turned red from the dust that was in the sky that was up there that was carried by the wind. Nothing grew. It was desolation, and because of the drought and because of the judgment of God that was on the land. Yeah. And God's judgment will return again, and has and is returning. Back through the 20s, and in those areas, those days, they thought that they were God. They played and forgot God. There were a few around, but they were considered crazy and foolish and called holy rollers. And they were always on the other side of the track and in the little missions around. But the rest of the crowd, oh, they went to church, but they didn't seek God. Their thought was in the pleasures of the parties and all that they had. The days of, what were they called? The 20s were called the Roaring 20s, in the days of the flappers. And God brought judgment because the nation forgot God. We have a nation that's forgotten God again. But thank God there's men and women rising up declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's prayer groups. And there's ladies' prayer meetings, and there's ladies' meetings and men's meetings, and whether it's in the church or not, God is moving, and if the church doesn't want it, He's moving outside the church. The great move of the women of prayer, and the great move that's taking place in the last 3 years of the men called Promise Keepers. God is raising up an army
to declare that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and that the army of the Lord will move forth and bring forth the righteousness and overcome that which is a rebellion. For God's Spirit is moving in the land. It's moving in the hearts and lives of his people to stir up once again a desire to serve and to walk in the paths of righteousness and ask for forgiveness for the iniquities and the rebellion that's in our hearts against the things of God. Now we say, oh, that's not for me. That was it back for another day and another people. No, God gave it through Moses for each one of us today. He didn't give it. It's not Moses' law. It's God's law. And he said that he gave it and he placed it in his word. And Jesus is that word and become life and become a living word. And then he became our substitute. And he took away the ordinances of the sacrifices and of the blood offerings and became our blood offering and left us the commandments of the Lord to walk in the commandments of the Lord so that we might be a people holy and righteous unto him. He's called us to holiness and to righteousness. But he said, and the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. You know, the last the three wars or two wars that we fought, we've lost them. We didn't lose them. We just turned away and walked away from them. But God allowed it to happen because we have not called on the Lord to be our help in the time of disaster. Well, there's been a few who have, but as a whole, the nation hasn't. As a whole, those in authority over us haven't. God requires that those in authority call on the name of the Lord. And it says, and your carcass shall be meat for all the fowls of the air and unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. And the Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, the land of sin, and with hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whence thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy way, and shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. Be poverty upon poverty. And thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. And thou shalt build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. And you shall plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. And the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with his sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sore of thy foot, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy king or thy president, which shall be set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shall you serve other gods of wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. And thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. And thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, but thine olive shall cast his fruit. And thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. For all thy trees and fruit of the land shall the locust consume. And the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. And he shall lend unto thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shall be the tail. Poverty, poverty, poverty. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Because we reject the word of the Lord. Because we rebel at keeping
the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. So we need to study. We need to study over and over the word of the Lord and see what there is there that we have rebelled against and say, that's not for me. That's for some other people. That's for somebody else. But help us, Lord, to study your word and then to keep that which you have written, that we may be a people that are righteous and holy before you, and that we'll be blessed and not cursed. That we'll not receive your judgment, but we will receive your blessing. Let's go over to Malachi, and let's look over here in Malachi at some more cursing. And there are others, but we'll just look here. Malachi comes right just before the book of Matthew. And we find here in Malachi in chapter 1 and verse 14, it says through Malachi, "But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, or the God of battles, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." So the Lord says here that if we make a vow and we don't keep that vow, we're cursed. Unless we come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm unable to do that. Forgive me," and ask the Lord to forgive you. Otherwise, you're cursed with a curse from God. Verse 1, chapter 2 says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already, because you don't believe this. You don't lay it to heart. It says, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. And one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi and with the Lord of hosts. For saith the Lord of hosts, the God of armies and the God of battles, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I give them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name." So, Lord, help us to walk in fear before the name of the Lord, that we walk in the fear of his judgment. We walk in the fear of not receiving the blessing of the Lord. Over in chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherewith have we robbed thee? In your tithes and your offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you shall not be room enough to receive it." So the Lord says, if we want the blessing of the Lord to keep his word, if we want his financial blessing, to give him that which belongs unto him. And if we don't, we're cursed. There's another scripture that says there's holes in your purse if you don't give unto the Lord that which belongs unto him. But then the Lord says that if we keep his word, he says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of armies, the God of battles. And all nations shall call you blessed. And you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." So the Lord says that if we keep his word and bring our tithes and offerings unto him and bring praise and worship and bring him the fruit of our lips of praise and worship, that we will be blessed and we will not receive his judgments. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. Back over here to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and read again. We left off at verse 44 in Deuteronomy 28. So let's pick up here at verse and read verse 45. 45 says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you, and overtake you, till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he hath commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and even upon thy seed forever, because you served not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." So the Lord says that we're that we're cursed if we don't serve Him with the gladness and joy and bring Him a praise of thanksgiving and a praise of offering of our lips unto Him. We need to praise Him with the gladness and with the joy of our heart for the abundance of all things that He gives unto us. Let's go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Keep your finger here. You're going to turn right back over there. We're over in Revelation, chapter 22, and verse 18. It says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now I wonder where that came from. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 28 and let's read the 58th verse of Deuteronomy 28. So we find in the 18th chapter or 18th verse of Revelation 22, the end of the book, we find this written. I have just read it. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, and Jesus is His name, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, many and great, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness. And again he says, long continuance. He didn't just say it once, but he repeated it. That they will be plagues that will last. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, the land of sin, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. We've got some plagues that's in the land that's not written in this book. And I think they're plagues of God, and I don't think they're going to go away because somebody finds a cure or a vaccine. Thank you, Tom. Finds a vaccine for it because it's a plague from God. And we can go back through all of these that we have read here already. And you will find listed there almost, you will find there every disease known to man listed there. And then we come up with the ones that's not known to man, which haven't been. And we've got AIDS and we've got leukemia and these things that are plagues in the land that God says we'll find no cure for. Well, why are they? It's because of rebellion against God. That's why we've got them. We rebel. Well, I don't need God. I don't need His Word. And we've got a lot of people who profess to be Christians, and they say that all I read is the New Testament. That's all. The rest of it don't apply to me. Well, what I just read came from Revelation chapter 22, which was the end of the book. And he says all the plagues that are written in this book, and they're back over here. So this is one book. It isn't two. You can't divide it. It's one book. And it can't be divided because it's the Word of God. And if the Lord had John pick up in the end of his writings, pick up this scripture from Deuteronomy 28 and use it, then that means that it's all one book, and it can't be divided and split up and take this out and that out and make it this and make it that. And the problem is a lot of us Christians today who are desiring to become overcomers and desiring to walk into sonship, we still are doing it. We still are doing it. And we're finding scriptures to take and use to satisfy what we want to do and say that don't apply to me anymore because this scripture disannuls and does away with it. Well, I contend that's error and false understanding of the scripture of the scriptures, because we have to take the scripture in the content that it's given for, and not just take it and make it apply to what I want it to say. You have to take and see what it was meant for when it was written, and you'll find that almost every time you cannot take it to use it for what you want to make it fit your petty thought or idea. So
We find here in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 28th chapter, that God says that we're cursed if we don't obey His word. We're cursed, and all these curses are in the land today. They're in the land because we have rebelled against the word of God. We are a rebellious people in rebellion against God. And we're cursed because of it. We're cursed with divorce. We're cursed with adultery. We're cursed with incest. We're cursed with diseases of every kind because we have inherited them down through the family line because of the rebellion of our ancestors and our own rebellion. We are a rebellious people, rebellious against the Word of God. So, we need a Savior. We need a Deliverer. And God sent Jesus to be our Savior and our Deliverer. But we must apply and appropriate what Jesus came and has given and has brought to us and has done for us in order to be saved or to be delivered. It doesn't come just because the Word says so. It comes because we receive it and accept it and then apply it and appropriate it to our lives. Then there is salvation, there is deliverance. There's healing, there's restoration as we come and appropriate and apply the Word of God and make it a living part of our lives and not just a dead word that we hear and read. Lord, increase Thou my faith. Increase our faith so that we can appropriate Your word and that we can speak Your word and it will become a living reality, not just a dead word spoken, but a word that lives and brings life and brings deliverance and brings restoration. So Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said let's go over there and read it. Keep your finger here. But let's go over there and read in Mark, the 16th chapter, and read here what Jesus left us with when he went back to glory. And it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Well, let's read verse 14 because it applies here. Here's our problem in 14. And after he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. But you see, we've got that unbelief and hardness of heart. So we're in the same category as the 11 were here when Jesus appeared and upbraided them. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow you and me that believe. In my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall you cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall remove Satan and demons. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lord, help us to believe. Take our unbelief out of us so that we believe your word and the authority that you give us in your name, Jesus, to lay hands on the sick and appropriate that which you did for us at the whipping post with the scars and stripes and the bleeding that you bled there at the whipping post for the healing of our physical bodies and the restoration of the diseases and sickness that we have inherited because of rebellion and sin. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Increase Thou my faith, Lord. Help Thou mine unbelief, Lord, so that your word can be a reality in the midst of your people. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Well, back to Deuteronomy. It says over here in verse 65, and among the nations there shall be no peace, no ease, and neither shall the sole of your foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. There are multitudes of people today that fear, live in fear, day and night. It's a curse that they're under. They live in fear. They live in poverty because they're cursed, because they do not give God that portion that belongs to Him. You cannot in any way afford not to give God that which is His. Because if you give God that which is His, He will make little much. And He will multiply the little to become sufficient
for the need. As you give to God and give praise unto Him and to give Him that which is His portion. But we are so rebellious that we think that we can go our own way. And then we get into trouble and we don't have sufficient to take care of the needs. And we have problems and we have sickness. It's all because we are in rebellion against God's Word. God's Word said it. It's true. And whether I like it or not, it's what I must desire to live by. I should want to live by it. It shouldn't be something that I live by because I feel I have to. I should love the Lord with all my heart and desire to walk in holiness and righteousness before Him. I should desire to hide His Word in my heart and desire to obey His Word that I might be counted worthy and be worthy of that which the Lord has provided for us, for each one of us. Let's go over to the 15th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. My notes keep falling out here when I turn the pages. Little things I've gotten stuck here and there. But here in Exodus 15 and verse 26, we read, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to Jesus, the Word, this is the Word, to Jehovah, the great I Am, and will do that which is right in His sight, not what's right in my sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, the land of sin. For I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee." Hallelujah. So if we will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord and will do that which is right in His sight and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. Lord, help us to repent and to change our ways and to seek out and hide Your Word in our heart, that we may be a people of holiness and righteousness for Your name's sake. We may walk in that place of righteousness to be a praise unto Your name. In Leviticus chapter 20, Leviticus 20 and verse 7, we read, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah, the Lord your God, which sanctifieth you." He sanctifies us. He will sanctify us. If we hide His Word in our heart and desire to keep it and to walk in holiness and righteousness before Him, He is our deliverer. And we all need deliverance from the ignorance of the Word, and from our rebellion at not studying the Word. We all are guilty, and we all have come short of His glory. All have come short. And we're all guilty of iniquity and rebellion. Iniquity is rebellion against that which we know to do right, and then do not do it. We are guilty of it, and we have rebellion, iniquity. Let's see. Let's go to Isaiah 53. And let's look at Isaiah 53 here and verse 5 and 6 of Isaiah 53. We serve a risen Christ, and He lives today, and He lives in our hearts and lives. It says, "But He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity," or lawlessness, "that which I knew to do right and deliberately did not do it. The chastisement of my peace," or soundness, "was upon Him, and with or by His stripes we are healed." And what? "All we like sheep, every one has gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Then the Lord laid upon Him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Our lawlessness, my rebellion, Jesus carried it for me, that there might be redemption for me and for you. "He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth.
and he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He willingly took my infirmities at the whipping post. He willingly took my rebellion and lawlessness at Calvary. He bore it on the tree for me and for you. He willingly done. He opened not his mouth. He said he could have called 10,000 legions of angels, but he didn't open his mouth. I wonder if you and I could have stood or would have in any way been able. No, we couldn't have been. If we had have known that we had a way out, we would have taken the way out. But he didn't. He loved me. He loved you so much that he suffered from the Garden of Gethsemane to Calvary. And he shed his blood that I might be saved, that you might be saved. Jesus is his name. King of kings and Lord of lords. But he's not in a tomb. He lives, and he lives forevermore to reign in the hearts and lives of his people. We don't serve a dead Christ. We serve one who's alive. He came forth triumphant and victorious from the tomb, a risen Savior for you and for me, that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly as we learn to apply and appropriate his word to our hearts and our lives and come to a greater understanding as we sit and listen to those who teach us. And as we teach ourselves by studying the word, we come to a place of understanding and knowledge where we can not only be set free ourselves, but he's called us to be deliverers in Zion, that we can be the deliverer for those about us who need deliverance. And you can be my deliverer, and I can be your deliverer, and we can set the captives free and declare that Jesus is Lord and walk in that place of righteousness without fear. For we know that God rules and reigns. Praise and worship and glory unto Jesus, for he alone is Lord. And unto him we give praise and worship and come and ask forgiveness and repentance and come to break the curses that we've inherited down through our ancestral heritage. I believe that incest is in every family that lives. I believe the curse of incest is upon every living person until it's broken, because it is a 10-generational curse. And someplace in your family line, that generational curse exists and has come down and is repeated down in your family line. Satan tries to repeat someplace in the family so that it can be a continuous carrying on of these curses. And we're under them until we come to and ask to be set free from them. People say, well, I got free from that when I got saved. Yes, the Lord's sovereign. He may have set you free from many things. But there are many things that you are not set free of when you got saved. And you can only be set free from them as you come and you either repent of them or somebody else stands and you understand and the curse is broken and in the name of Jesus. Galatians 3:13. Let's turn over there and read that here in conclusion, so that we understand where we are. In John 3:16, we find that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you and I, whosoever, that believe on him should not perish, but that we'd have everlasting life. But by the same token that we must come and believe on him, so must we also come and appropriate and apply the fact that Jesus became our curse, just as he became our salvation. In Galatians 3:13, we find, going the wrong way here, we find that Jesus became our curse. It says here in the 13th verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus became our curse. But we must apply and appropriate the fact that he became our curse so that the curses can be broken. We must receive it, we must appropriate it, and we must take authority and dominion over the curses that we are under or that we have come under because of our ancestral heritage. We must apply and appropriate the word of the Lord to be set free from it. And as the week goes on and as we have deliverance sessions and teachings,
These areas will be brought up, and we will stand and take dominion and authority over the different areas of the curses that we have read about this morning, and other things that we are bound by, because we need deliverance. We need to be set free so that we can be a people that are holy, set apart unto the Lord, so that we can become overcomers. We are becoming overcomers. So that we can become overcomers so that we can walk in the area of the kingdom, just as the Lord has shown us in this hour and this day. For we are the kingdom of God in the earth today, and we are the deliverers. I'm a deliverer, and we are deliverers together for the kingdom. Not just any certain, there's no certain one that is a great deliverer above anybody else. God's called every one of us to labor together for the kingdom, to be deliverers in Zion, to set the captives free. And as we labor together, we come to a greater freedom in the Lord as we understand the Word, and as we listen, and as we walk in the light of the Word, we come to be the people of holiness unto the Lord. A manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
It is a word spoken, but it is a reality.
Yes.
And I desire to walk into that place when one day the manifestation of the glory of God shall shine forth through the land, and the sons of God shall arise in power and dominion, taking authority and dominion over the powers of Satan, to loose that which is bound, and to set the king and to set the nations of the earth free. Not just we, but the nations of the earth to be set free, that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen, amen. That should be every one of our desires. That should be the reason that we're here, to be set free. Oh, we come because we have problems? That's fine. We come to be set free from our problem? That's fine. But the basic purpose of our desire to be set free should be so that we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him, that we will be a light to shine forth, that men will know that He lives and reigns, because He lives and reigns in the hearts and lives of these people, and that we're that light set on a hill that cannot be hid. You don't have to go and open your mouth. Just the Spirit of the Lord rests in you, and the very presence will let them know and convict them of the error of their ways and of the sin that's in the midst of them. They'll be convicted and call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Just as we've heard in days past of the mighty outpouring and move of the Lord, when ministries came into a place, the very conviction of their presence brought that, until men and women fell on their knees in places of work, in shops and in places of work. When they walked through the place, the hush of God came, and they fell on their face and repented because of the anointing of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God, bring that anointing again unto your people.
Yes,
bring that anointing, Lord, that outpouring of your presence and your glory to where your very presence of your people will bring conviction and cause them to call out unto the Lord, and they won't even know why until they've done it. Oh, God, bring that in our midst.
Yes.
Bring it, Lord, make that the desire of our hearts, that the glory of your presence be manifest to your people. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for it. Lord, make that the cry of our hearts. Make that Lord, it's my cry, it's my desire, that the Shekinah glory of your presence engulf us, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, God, move amongst us. Let thy Shekinah glory manifest in and through us. Lord, this week, I bind the powers of satanic dominion that would try to hinder in the meetings of these days that we are gathering together. I break your assignment, Satan. I bind and break your assignment. The glory of the Lord exceedeth the power of your demonic power. And I release the glory of the Lord and thy conviction in our midst, Lord. And that thy presence shall come forth as the ministry comes forth this week. Receive our praise. Receive our worship, Father. And then, Father, let thy word come forth with the glory and the unction of your power to bring conviction unto your people, Father, that we shall be stirred and moved to walk forth in the glory of your presence, Father, and to go forth from this place to be deliverers in Zion for thy glory.
I thank you and I praise you and I bless your name, Lord.
Glory
and make
God.
That the desire and the hunger of our hearts, Lord. Make it the hunger of our hearts. And I thank you for it and I praise you for it. Amen, amen, amen.
In your presence.
Yes, Lord.
In
yes,
your
Lord.
Presence.
In your presence, Lord. In your presence. Hallelujah.
In your presence, there is joy. Let me linger, let me stay in your presence. If I did, in your likeness, can you be in me? In your presence. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. Let me linger, let me stay. In your presence, day by day. See your likeness and be seen. We stay in the image of our Father. If we walk in the footprints of His Son. If we speak in the power of His Spirit. Then the work on this earth will. If we stay in the image of our Father, if we walk in the footprints of His Son, if we speak in the power of His Spirit,
this is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.